title this morning is Pursuing a Life of Impact. Pursuing a Life of Impact. It's August 11th, 2013. Half the month is gone. Christmas is just around the corner. Hallelujah. I can't believe I haven't seen the Christmas decorations out yet, but I think they're coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Football season's preseason started. Praise God, the Lions won. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. Got one under the belt. Even though it don't really count, it's all good. Amen. So we're believing someday, probably before the Lord tarries, that the Lions will win a Super Bowl. But we're going to see. Amen. Hallelujah. But, you know, this morning I want to share with you just about pursuing a life of impact. And, you know, our life is made of decisions that we make, good or bad. Would you agree with that this morning? And the decisions that we make in our life are not always earth-shattering. You know, it's not every decision is going to change something. But when we start lining up the things with God's Word, when we start to do things God's way, when we start to walk and make the right decisions all the time, our life becomes better. Amen? It's a day-to-day decision that gets you closer or farther away from God. If you're making good choices, then you get closer to God. If you make bad choices, you get further away from God. And what we got to find out in this area of when we make these decisions, when we make good decisions, we're being obedient to the things of God. God likes obedience. Amen? Amen. Disobedience brings pain. I don't like pain. When I was disobedient, I got grounded. I got spanked. I got things taken away from me. Disobedience brings pain. Obedience brings blessings. Amen? And God wants to have us have a life of impact. God wants you to be used in a mighty way so that you can change people's lives. Amen? God wants you to pursue a life that matters, a life of impact. Remember last week we said that you're an ambassador for Christ. Everywhere you go, you represent God. It depends how you represent Him. Amen? I mean, some people say, you're a Christian, and they kind of back off because they've probably been burned by somebody that was a Christian that was shaking and moving and doing that goofy stuff, religion stuff. You know, I'm just being real. Amen? And you can't reach people when you're being goofy, and thus saith the Lord. People want somebody they can talk to, someone that can relate to them, someone that can understand them, even though they're goofed up and messed up and jacked up. But you were there once before, too. Amen? So God wants you to have this life of impact. God wants you to pursue a life that matters because you are that ambassador for Christ. And this morning, I want to share three things with you, three decisions that you need to make if you're going to pursue a life of impact for God. And all these decisions are made on based upon the Word of God. Put up a slide real quick there, son. Let us run with perseverance the race marked before us. You notice that? If you look at that picture there, and we're going to talk about it, you're being set up to win. You're being set up to win. But you look at, there's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's lanes. And God is trying to illustrate to you in your life, there's some lanes that you need to stay in. There's some boundary. You may not be the evangelist, but you may be a pastor. You may be gifted in some things, but you're not gifted in others. So you got to learn to just to stay in your lane. Amen? I mean, I like to hoot and holler and high step like some other ministers, but that's not my calling. That's not my gifting. Amen? I'm more of a teacher and preacher and encourage you to get going and do something, praise God. Amen? So we have to understand that when you have a life of impact, when you're pursuing love, you got to have some perseverance. You got to get tough a little bit. You can't be a pansy. Amen. You got to step in and do some things for God. And sometimes it takes some effort. Sometimes it takes some sacrifice. Sometimes it takes a whole bunch of time that you don't have. Amen. So this morning, take a look at the Bible in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And I want to show you some. This is the Amplified Bible, and it expounds it a little bit. And I want to share a few things with you this morning so that you can carry on and make a life of impact. Because, you know, God's counting on you to get something done. Amen? Hebrews 12:1, the Amplified Bible says this. Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that is sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us and lets us run with patient endurance and steady and active perseverance or persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Let me stop for a second. Let us strip off. Let us take the weights, the things that bind us up, the things that slow us down, the yoke that's been around our neck. We need to let those things go. Remember we said a few weeks ago that God told you to cast all your cares on Him. Why? Because the cares will slow you down. And if you're in a race and you want to win, you don't want to carry the extra weight. Amen? But sin, it clings to you. It entangles you. But it says, let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence, the appointed course of the race that's been set. There's a course that's been set before you. It says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. So you might have to cut some people out of your life that are distracting you. I'm just helping you out. Who is the leader and the source of your faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Take a look at Hebrews 12:1 again, New Living Translation. I won't break this down. I want this to seep in you. I want this to drench your spirit this morning. Hebrews 12:1, New Living Translation, says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. God has, you know, set a race before us. All you got to do is run in it. We're going to talk about that. Verse 2, it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on the pastor. Right? Isn't that what it says there? We keep our eyes on my boss who's jacked up. We keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. You know, in a race of life, the Bible says it was already marked out. You've seen that there was lane 1, 2, 3, 4. That was already lined out for you. You just need to get in your lane. Stay in your lane. That's what I tell people when I'm driving on my motorcycle. Get out of my lane. You crowd my lane. Get away from my lane. Stay in your own lane. It's like that in life. The race that we're in is not a short sprint. Can I run to the wall and back? No, it's a marathon. And when you ever ran a marathon, which I have not, amen, but my brother has and his family have, and I've watched them train from afar, amen, when I was on a couch eating potato chips, amen. I was watching them train for that race, and it's a marathon. And you have to endure some things. You go through some things through the process of it. So is life. It's a process. And there's some rules that you need to follow. Take a quick look at this slide real quick. We all start at the same place. We all have the same mustard seed of faith. We all start at the start again. And God says, go once you get saved. And you go do the things of God. Amen? Take a look at 2 Timothy 5. 2 Timothy 2:5. 2 Timothy 2:5. This is what the Bible says. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You can't juice yourself to win the bike race. You can't shoot yourself with steroids so you can hit a home run ball. You got to play within the rules that are there. So we're going to talk about this morning. The first decision to pursue a life of impact is assessment. The first decision to pursue a life of impact is assessment. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're not even in the race. In order to join the race, there's always a cost. You got to give up something. You got to say, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it God's way. Now, I've ran some races before. I ran a 5K race, and I did a two-mile walk, and you sign up, and you pay your fee, your entrance fee, and then you go and you get a number, and sometimes they give you a shirt that says I ran, or, you know, 5K mile deal, or whatever, and you wear that shirt probably, and you have it taped on, you know. But I had to train before I ran that 5 miles or that 5K because I knew that I couldn't do it without some training. Amen. And if you can't get in the race unless you've been saved. So when you have friends that don't know Jesus yet, what you need to understand is they're not in the race yet. They're just on the sidelines, and it's your responsibility and my responsibility to make a life of impact. You're there to speak into their lives. Amen. I love hanging around with unsaved folks. Then you tell them that you're a pastor, and they just, they want to clean themselves. No, continue to do what you've been doing. I'll let God clean you up. Don't worry about what I don't think. I'm not going to judge you if you're swearing and cussing and drinking your 10th beer and you're stumbling all over the place. Just don't get in the car. But we have to have an assessment of what's going on. We must have the right preparation, the right groundwork or homework completed in order to pursue and have a life of impact. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, it says, let us strip away every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up. That means you got to remove things that prevent you from running the race. Now, I'm not talking the things in your race, like big sin, like immorality or theft. I'm talking, you know, those little things like envy and bitterness and gossip and those things that we do. I know. I just a pastor does that. I guess, you know, I must be envious that the other guy's got 5,000 members at his church. Come on now. Keep it real. It's those little sins. It's you know, if you've ever ran a race and you've stepped on a little rock and it hurts your foot the rest of the race, it's that little thing that trips you up. You go, Pastor, that's crazy. Well, you know, I was thinking about running a race, so I got these new Nike shoes. They're not new. I put a couple hours on them, amen, at the gym. But when I go and I prepare to go to the gym to work out my body, that's, you know, a shape called round, amen, and I'm hoping to make it kind of like an hourglass figure with some muscles up on the top, and, you know, I have to go and spend some time. I have to dress the part. I don't go into the gym dressed like this. I go in with some sweatshirts and some T-shirts that's ragged out. My wife always complains because my T-shirts and stuff I wear are kind of like holy and ripped up. But I'm not there to impress all the ladies. I'm there to get something done. Although the older ladies that are 90 years old and oxygen always want to talk to me, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, maybe this getting their last right while they're on that treadmill and breathing. Huh? Oh, you're such a nice boy. Yeah. So thank you. But I go into the gym and I wear my tennis shoes and I put my bandana on so I look like I'm in the hood and I look bad, you know, and I go to the gym and I work out and I start sweating, you know. So I wear the tennis shoes, okay? But you know, when you run a race, when you run a race, okay, you don't go into run a race with shoes like this, amen? I just can't picture myself running down a race with the shoes. The shoe don't fit? No, okay. Anyways. But I don't go to the gym with high heels on. Pray the Lord. I don't go unprepared. When you go, you might wear this going in the gym, but you're going to take that off so that you can get ready and put on your right shoes for the right job so that you can get something done. But I ain't wearing these to go run no marathon. I ain't going to run barefoot. Amen? You got to strip away those things that slow you down. Those shoes would have slowed me down, but these shoes are going to make me faster. I don't know about you, but when my kids were little, they'd get these new tennis shoes, and the first thing they would do is they'd run as fast. Look how fast I can run, Dad. Look how fast I can run, you know? Remember that? And they would run as fast as they can with those new shoes, and they're like, you could run the same with the other shoes you had. I went, those new shoes, man, made them faster because they were assessing what they had gotten. Remember my kids doing it. Well, Dad, look how fast I can jump. I can jump with these new tennis shoes. Come on, now, am I being real? I used to do the same thing. So we got a lot of these things, like envy and bitterness and gossip, to get out of our way because they slow us down. They trip us up. They make us stumble on the course. Amen? Life is not meant to be a cycle of repent and repeat. Repent and repeat. Repent and repeat. No, God wants you to get beyond that. God's already given you the victory. You got to get beyond the repent and repeat. I'm doing the same thing I've been doing for 20 years. Quit it. We need to throw off everything that hinders, everything that slows us down, everything that gets in our way from making an impact on someone, we got to get rid of. Oh, Pastor, you might have to cut some friends that are dragging you down. Someone said, what do you go in that church for? You know, well, you waste your Sunday morning there. You could be watching football and having an early breakfast. And yeah, you could be. There's some people you may need to cut out of your life. I didn't say be mean to them, but if they haven't gotten who you are by now and you're saved, and they're picking on you because you're saved, well, maybe they need to hang with the dogs. Eventually, when it catches fleas, it'll want to come back to you because you want to pull off the fleas. Sometimes you need to throw off some things. Sometimes you got to get rid of some things that hinder you. Preparation, you need to understand, involves sacrifice. Preparation requires discipline. My wife got a personal trainer because she wasn't disciplined. Neither am I. We're going to the gym. So if you get somebody who makes you accountable, you show up. First step, you're assessing why I'm not getting healthier. I'm going to the gym. I go to the gym 5 days a week, but I ain't feeling any different. My muscle groups aren't stronger. So you get somebody that can help you, that knows a little bit, and you assess they assess where you're weak at, and they begin to build you in those areas where you need to be strengthened. That's what Jesus does. That's what the Word does. Not hard. Now, you think about sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice not eating that banana split because you're watching your weight. Come on. Sometimes you need to cut some of that stuff out because it's harmful, not helpful. Sometimes you need to cut relationship. Sometimes you've gone to distance with some people, family members. Oh, my God, there's somebody just like, don't you just get it? I mean, how long have you known us? Think about Paul and his sacrifice. Paul was in prison more than once. He was flogged. He was exposed to death. 5 times he received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. He had 195 lashes. Paul did. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned, not because he was smoking marijuana. He was stoned with rocks. Amen. 3 times he was shipwrecked. Don't want to hang with that brother, man. I already sunk one boat, but he'd been shipwrecked. I ain't interested in hanging with Paul. And he spent a night and a day in the open sea. He was constantly on the move. He was in danger from rivers and bandits, his own countrymen, the Gentiles. He had not gone to sleep for days. He was without food. He was cold. He was naked. He faced daily pressures and concerns. All that from the church. But Paul said something that was interesting. Take a look at Philippians 3:12. Sometimes you got to go through some stuff. Sometimes you have to say, I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. Sometimes you got to say, this isn't going to be an easy journey, but I'm going to do it. I'm assessing everything. In Philippians 3:12, it says this, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but that's where most Christians fail. It gets a little tough and they go, oh, I don't want to press on. This is too hard. I don't want to do that. Well, I didn't want to be pastor of this church. But God said. And then I began to press on. Beyond where I didn't think I could go, and God showed me. But I press on and I lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I don't understand it all. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those things of your past, forgetting those things that used to slow you down, amen, and reaching forward. I'm reaching forward for those things that are ahead, and I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Put up that slide real quick. Finish line. You can have and go through the finish line. But you might have to endure a few things. It might be a rocky road. You it might be raining and the roads are a little slip. And you, as you're running, you're going to go through some stuff. Your body feels like it's shutting down. It's changing. But you have to endure it. And most of us, and get this morning, most of us have never started when it comes to serving God. Yet we live a life that we've already succeeded. Let me say that again. Many people, not you of course, but there's many people that have never even started when it comes to serving God. Yet we live as if our life has already succeeded, that we've already done it. We got it all, God, don't worry, I got it figured out. I don't need you no more, I got it, I'm good, thank you. God bless you. Number two, the second decision in pursuing a life of impact. The second decision in pursuing a life of impact is attitude. Attitude. Attitude of gratitude. No matter what you're going through, an attitude of gratitude will make a huge difference. We should have the right determination. We should be focused on the things of God. Hebrews 12 says this. It says, "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." You know, God set a race before us. All we got to do is run in it. Amen. That means the race that's before us means that we never give up, that we keep on running. No matter what it looks like, we don't know that next step, but we know it's been ordered of God. The righteous person, the righteous man's steps have been ordered of God. Guess what? If you just keep on running the race of God, you'll finish strong. Don't take the detours of life. Don't get involved in something you shouldn't. The race has already been marked out for you. In other words, when you feel like you're going off course, you probably are off course. Because God already has some boundaries established. This is what the Bible said, that in order for an athlete to win the race, he's got to play by the rules. And God has some rules in it. And if you get the first two commandments, if you love God, and then if you love God, if you love yourself like you love God, once you get those two, everything the other ones you just get automatic because you won't go do those other things. Amen. Amen. The race has been marked out before you, but you got to follow the principles of kingdom living. You cannot fail; you win. But the devil is talking in your ear that you'll never amount to anything. You can't accomplish this. You can't complete this. But God said you win. And God, when God speaks, you got to listen. Amen? Take a look at Ephesians 2.10. Ephesians 2.10. The Amplified Bible says this. Ephesians 2.10. "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship." You know, Sears sells a Craftsman tool. And if it ever breaks, they give you another one because that's how good that product is. They believe in it so heartily that they're willing to give you a lifetime warranty, no matter what you're doing with that tool. Well, just think about what God's done for you. You're His handiwork. You have a lifetime warranty called eternity. All right, we'll talk about that later. It says, "Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that you may do good works which God predestined." I don't know. Does that mean planned beforehand? "For us, taking the path which He prepared ahead of time, that we might walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live." So if your life is not where you want it to be, it's not because God had messed it up. You might have to take some personal responsibility for it, like I had to, and said, "Man, my life sucks. I got to change it. I can't continue to do this and expect a different result." Because, see, you have to get that attitude adjustment. that only the Holy Spirit can give you. That you're not all that you think you are in a slice of bread. Amen? He said you're born anew, that you may do good works, which God predestined. In other words, God planned beforehand. God already seen the beginning and the end. He already seen the end. He's working the playbook from the end result, which means you got the victory. The finish line, that's where he already seen you. But he's already read the whole book. How you get there, the course you take, might be longer than the marathon. Sometimes you end up going off course and you keep on going around that mountain. You ever do that? You go, man, this looks familiar. Boy, I haven't seen that. God don't want you to go round and round. It's like a dog that chases its tail. He ain't interested. God wants you to see some new sights all along the way. Amen? He says he planned beforehand. He says, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. God had already laid out the course. He already has a plan. He's already put you in a lane. Amen? And he's saying, just run in your lane and you'll succeed. Just stay in your lane. And he says, and if you do that and you walk with them, living the good life, which he prearranged and has already made for us to live. God's already given you the good life. Miller High Life had not given you the good life. Amen? God's given you the good life. Here's the third decision you got to make. Third decision for pursuing a life of impact is aspiration. What do you aspire to be? What did God say who you are? God says that you're the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. You say, Pastor, you say that every week. Why? Because I want you to get it, that you are blessed. You need to have the right motivation. Like I said, my wife had to get a personal trainer. Why? Because he was going to motivate her. And he put her through the task, man. I mean, you know, he wasn't letting loose on, you're going to do another two more push-ups. You're going to run four more laps. I know you're throwing up, but you'll be okay. Don't worry. You'll get that out of you, those toxins out of you. She'd come home and she'd be walking in the house. She goes, man, he just worked me out too hard, you know. She goes, when are you going to go? I said, I'm afraid. I see him at the gym and he's waving. Now you're next. Moon brother. Maybe his shoulders, I'm a little old, you know. Come on. He gave her the right motivation and put her on a course and held her accountable. And we need that in our lives if we're going to finish strong. Hebrews 12:2, it said that we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. It's Jesus that we need to keep our eyes on, not on the things around the world. I'm not too worried about what's happening in the world. I just want to know what God wants to do about it. Can I help? Can I fix it? Can I do something about it, God? Show me. I don't want to be one of those that just talk about it. I want to be one of those that are doing it. Amen? I work with a bunch of mechanics, and they all cackle like women in the back. I won't be. So when are you guys going to start talking about it and do it? You've got to make a life of impact. Amen? You got to fix your eyes on Jesus, not on your reputation, not on yourself, not on how big, bad you are, how cool you is. No. You need to focus on God. Because if you got your focus on God, he's got everything else taken care of for you. He already knows people are going to talk about you. He already knows that people are going to slight you a little bit. He knows that people are going to pull the race card on you sometimes. But you're going to have to endure that. That's what the Bible says. But you're an overcomer. You have the victory in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ should be the only reason why we pursue a life of impact. We are commanded to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Since Jesus endured something called the cross, you and I have to endure some stuff. Sometimes we've got to go through some stuff. Sometimes we made bad decisions, and we have to endure the ramification of that bad decision we made and not blame everybody else, but take responsibility for it. Hey, I messed up. Hey, I did that. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was me who did that. The devil made me do it. I used to use that one all the time. The devil made me do that. I can't believe I got caught smoking that dope like that. I was stoned like Peter, and Paul, and Silas. My stone was just a little different. I used to justify it. Well, hey, God made it. Should be able to smoke it. It's an herb. Here. No. Had glaucoma when I was 16. No, those were my choices that I made. Those were bad choices. Bad decisions. Drinking the alcohol. Whose fault was that? It wasn't somebody who was pouring it down my throat. Those were my hands and my dollars I was giving to participate. So better to have a clear mind that's not fogged up and wake up drunk. Not condemning if you have a drink or if you have a wine or something like that. That's good for you maybe, but not good for me. I know my limitations. I don't want to have someone stumble because of me. I don't want to visit you in the hospital because you were drunk driving and I breathed booze on you. Probably not a good thing. How's your pastor? I'm in the spirit. No. I want to hear clearly from God. I want to have a life of impact, not one of chaos, not one of confusion. We got to be single-focused on Jesus. We will never go astray. Our goals, our plans, our desires, our purpose ought to be that of God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are we seeking Him? Are we getting focused? Are we laser beam focused on the things of God or not? Or are we just doing things our way? It's quiet. God wants you to make a difference in somebody else's life. He does. Like I said this morning, talking to the guy that sold me the car all this time, his name is Peter, and we just been a friend. Don't know what his walk was. I told him, we're pastors. I'm here to beat you up. I know you might slip up once in a while and have a cuss word because the manager didn't give you the right price for the car that I should only have to pay $100 for a month with no money down. And they come back for $500. So go tell your manager he's just off by $400. Gee, I can hear him. Holy Ghost is listening. Those that diligently seek God, those that are pursuing God. Those that are pursuing God are the ones that make an impact in somebody else's life. It's not thus saith the Lord. It's not you go and be the Bible person. It's you just being a friend. You being Christian-like, Christ-like, acting in a right way, giving good advice that's based upon the Word of God, not on, well, you know, that's what I would do, sister. Yeah, that's what I would do, brother. You know, just, you know. Come on. Let me close with this. You might like this. I read this, and I said, this is pretty good for us. And then what we'll do is when I get done with this little passage that I found, we're going to worship God and just seal it. Amen? In April of 2005, more than 30,000 members of the Saddleback Church celebrated their 25th anniversary at Angel Stadium. Kind of fitting, Angel Stadium. Kind of cool. And as a finale of the event, they read a purpose-driven covenant. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait 25 years and have 30,000 people to have it at some stadium at the Cox Pavilion or anything like that. I think today would be a good day. Amen? We don't have to wait for my 10-year anniversary. We don't have to wait for 25 years at these people. But they had this covenant that they made. And when I started reading this covenant, I said, wow, this is pretty cool. This would be good for the church to hear this. So this morning I want you to commit yourselves to the same covenant. And I'm gonna read it to you. I'm gonna read it slow because I want you to seep it in your spirit this morning. This is what they said. Today I'm stepping across the line. I like that. I'm tired of waffling. And I'm finished with wavering. I've made my choice. The verdict is in. And my decision is irrevocable. I'm going to go God's way. There's no turning back now. We will live the rest of our life serving God's purposes with God's people on God's planet for God's glory. I will use my life to celebrate His presence, cultivate His character, participate in His family, demonstrate His love, and communicate His word. Since my past has already been forgiven, and I have a purpose for living and a home awaiting in heaven, I refuse to waste any more time or energy on shallow living, petty thinking, trivial talking, thoughtless doing, useless regretting, or hurtful resenting, or faithless worrying. Instead, I will magnify God, grow to maturity, serve in ministry, and fulfill a mission in the membership of His family. Let me stop there. Does this resonate with anybody? This is because this life is preparation for the next. And I will value worship over wealth, we over me, character over comfort, service over status, and people over possessions, position, and pleasures. Ooh, God, that hurts. I know what matters most, and I will give it all I've got. I will do my best I can with what I have because I have Jesus Christ today. Well, this is good for the young people. I won't be captivated by culture, manipulated by critics, motivated by praise, frustrated by problems, deliberation by temptation, or intimidation by the devil. I will keep running my race with my eyes fixed on the goal, not on the sidelines of those running by me. When times get tough, and they will, and I get tired, I won't back up, back off, back down, back out, or backslide. I'll just keep moving forward by God's grace. I'm spirit-led, purpose-driven, and mission-focused. So I cannot be bought, and I will not be compromised, and I will not quit until I finish the race. I'm a trophy of God's amazing grace. So I will be gracious to everyone, grateful for every day, and generous for everything that God entrusts to me. To the Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, I say this. However, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do, my answer in advance is yes. I know that's going to scare you right now. Yes, everything God says, yes. It's in advance. Lord, I'm not most likely to, yes. God's put you in that lane. Stay in that lane. And just keep out yesing. Yes, yes, yes. Wherever you lead, and whatever the cost, I'm ready. Anytime, anywhere, any way. Whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to be used by you in such a way that on the final day I will hear, well done, you good and faithful one. Come on in and let the eternal party begin. Isn't that pretty awesome? Doesn't that sum up the way it should be? When you're pursuing a life of purpose, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't what I'm going to get out of it. It's who's going to get the glory for it. He already finished the race. He paid the price. He endured everything at the cross for you and for me. He's done it. He completed the task. He went across that finish line like that young man that was going across that finish line. And just God's already seen you cross the finish line. He already knows the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. He knows it all. He's already seen you finished, completed, perfected in His image. His workmanship created perfect. Not with a chip, not with a scratch, not with something missing. No. He made you whole. You can't finish across the finish line without a pair of tennis shoes. You can't be wearing dress shoes running across that finish line. You don't have to wear the three-piece suit or the nice skirt to lead people to Christ. You could wear jeans. It's okay. God's okay with that. I had to tear down some of those things too. Well, people come to church and they're not even dressed up for church. How dare they? I was thinking about Jesus and him gathering with 5,000. How many were wearing suits and ties and all that and their tunics? And then there was probably some that didn't have as much, so they came as they were. I can see Jesus. Well, I can't just touch them because, you know, they ain't wearing red today. So, no. Whatever the cost, whatever it takes, whatever you want, God will do. The answer is yes. Yes, 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 yes. I don't know how we're going to do it. He goes, you don't have to. Just trust me. Stay in your lane that I told you. Just do what I told you to do. But he's checking. He says, how's your attitude? Do you have an attitude of gratitude? He wants to know, have you made the right aspiration? Do you have the right aspiration? Are you focused? Do you have the right motivation? Do you need a coach in your corner named the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I do. I need that. I need that one. Did I assess the when they go in to assess the damage, what has been done? Have you assessed your life? Have you went through a checklist of your life and said, "Boy, I need to improve there." And you know, boy, I sometimes have a short temper, and I need to work on that. And you have this checklist, and it gets pretty long when you start doing it, and then you start finding, well, the only one that can help me with that is the one upstairs, you know, the one in the master suite, in the penthouse on the Golden Street that can help me get me back in line so that I can have a life worth of purpose. People that commit suicide felt they had a life that had no purpose. So they said, I'm done, or smashed their car, or whatever that is. Take a pill. People that are drinking and getting drunk all the time and getting smashed and stoned out of their mind, they don't know that they have a purpose. So they'd just rather just numb their senses. Didn't know that there was something greater. There should be a motivation for living. There should be an aspiration, and his name's Jesus. He should be the reason why you live. The reason why you wake up in the morning is because he's given you breath in your lungs. He's the same one that healed you. He's the same one that blesses you. He's the same one that gives you favor. It ain't fair and people talk about you. It's all good. It's all about him, not about us. We got to be focused on him. We got to have a reason to continue to grow. People always said to me, "Well, Pastor, you know, your church is still small." And I said, "Well, I just give it to God. I've had 3,000 people come through. Amen. They ain't here because they don't want to grow. Some of them moved. Some of them went to be with Jesus. Instead of listening to the pastor, they're listening to the one who wrote the book." Amen. I want the word, Pastor. That's what you get here. Water coat it, sugar it down. That's not what the Bible said. Sometimes we have to assess the cost. Do we really want to do that? Oh, boy, that could be hard. Yeah, it's hard. But there are benefits. There are some benefits for serving God. There's some awesome things that happen when you serve God. When that car should have smashed into you, but it just somehow just moved around you and didn't hit you. How'd that happen, God? The job that you're in, that the boss gives you a hard time, and then God opens up another door and you walk through, and man, it's double for your trouble. It happened to me. Amen? I had to put up with somebody being mean and unethical and that, and every day I'd suck it up, and I'd get in my room, and I'd just go, God, God. And then God opened up a door and gave me double the salary for the issues I had. But you had to endure something. You have to go through something. And then say when you ran the marathon, it was going to be easy. It's called training. My wife didn't like going to the the personal trainer at first, but after a couple weeks of him beating her down and busting up the muscle tissue, she felt good. She yearned to go. She like, I'm getting up. I gotta go to the gym. I don't know what you're doing. I'm going to the gym to work out. I'm getting this body to line up because I got something to do. Not just my body to look good, but when you're ministering, it takes some physical strength because you don't know what you're going to deal with the devil. Amen? You might have to be on your feet for more than, you know, where I'm on my feet the whole time I get here. I'm here early at about 8:30 in the morning. I'm on my feet. I don't sit down. I'm on my feet for 2 or 3 hours, but it took me some time to endure that. When I was 365 pounds, I had to find a chair because my feet were aching. My paws and my feet were going, ooh, Jesus. Now I could buy cheap shoes and they don't hurt. Now I have to go spend the $500 Madden's. I go get the $59 deal. I'm good, man. It's comfortable. The guy goes, you can't wear those for like 8 hours. Why do? I wore them for 12 hours. Because I took a little load. Remember, Bob said, lighten your load a little bit, you know? When you first start off, that first mile is tough, but once you conquer the first mile and your second mile, it gets a little easier. And then you keep on doing that. You do it day after day, and then you get a little further. My wife showed me something that their trainer told me about this on this pre-core machine. I would always do the same thing. I'd leave it on level 4, and level 10 and 4 would be the moving. So I could just burn through that in 45 minutes, and I'm like, I broke a sweat. I'm good. Well, now I got it at the top, number 20. So now you got to move it, and now I got to level 14, but I got to get to level 20. I mean, I'm moving that thing, and I mean, it's only for about 3 minutes I get at that level, but every time, every week, I get just a little further. I can only do it for 30 seconds the first time. And then I got to 45, and then I did a minute, and I was just like breaking out in a sweat. Now I got up for 3 minutes at that 14 with the 20, man. I'm like I'm climbing up freaking Mount Everest. My wife would look at me, yeah, good job. You know, encouragement, someone motivating you. Thank God I ain't her trainer, though. Boy, he'll whoop on you, I tell you. He gets people passing out when he's working with them. My wife said, I seen this lady with her feet up in the air. She goes, and then him running for some juice to go get the lady because she passed out. But there's somebody there that is encouraging you. You got the Holy Spirit. He encourages you. This morning, God wants you to have a life that impacts somebody. Maybe it's just one person. I don't know. I think he wants you to impact the whole world. But you got to be about doing it. You got to be just focused. You got to be motivated. You got to do it his way, not your way. Your ways are probably really good, but God's ways are a lot better. He gives you the shortcut sometimes. We want to go around a long way. Amen? We're going to worship God. Let's worship God. Let's get ready to worship him. And then let's just lock in what God has done this morning. And then I'll do some announcements and that. But let's just worship God and just think about what he's doing for you and in you and through you. Amen? Amen.